The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Welcome to The Dory Monson Show. Jack Stein, Matt Markovich in for Mr. Dory Monson.
Yes, sirree.
This afternoon. Hey, Nicole, everybody I'm sure was expecting Dory Monson to be back today. He was gone Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of last week. Can you give us an update on how Mr. Monson is feeling today?
He's definitely feeling better. He was pretty sick, and so his voice isn't quite up to a three-hour show yet. But
yeah.
But I think we're pretty confident he'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, Dory and I went to a concert together, and he was just screaming. It was we saw BTS.
Yes.
We saw that Korean pop band. And Dory was just screaming.
What does that say about you? Okay.
Well, it's, you know, the both of us went. We just have a good time. We both had our BTS gear on. And then we were just screaming and screaming. I said, Dory, don't you have a show to do tomorrow? And he says, I'll be fine. And then look where he is now.
Yep,
so,
yep.
But he'll be back tomorrow, yeah?
That's the plan, yes.
Okay, very cool. So the big lead today is going to be Omicron COVID-19 variant found in three Washington state counties. So let's get right into that.
The big lead, top story.
Got a very special guest, though, Matt Markovich, joining us.
Yeah,
from...
you know what? I am vaxxed up. I'm boosted up. I'm ready to go. I am invincible. I had my shot yesterday.
Did you go Pfizer? Did you go Moderna?
No, I was Johnson & Johnson. I wanted the one shot and out first time, and I got that April 3rd. And then so my wife and I, we couldn't get an appointment, but I wanted to tell you about the secret spot where you can wait and just get one. And that was, we went down to the Auburn Outlet Mall, and they have a line there. They're open for 6 hours. They got plenty of people. It's kind of like a factory. And I just waited a half hour. And I had no appointment, and we got our shots. And then after, once we left, there was no line. So that's the secret right there. If you're down south, Outlet Mall every day, and they got all three shots. So I got the Johnson & Johnson booster because I had no effects from the first shot. So I'm immune forever.
Well, I'll be upfront with you, Matt. I am not going to get the booster. I don't really care what anybody says. I got the one J&J. I don't care if it goes from 99% effectiveness down to 92% effectiveness. It makes no difference to me. So I did want to point out, though, Matt, you used to work for Como, and the story's coming out of Como. Do you want to introduce yourself to the Dory Monson audience?
Yeah,
and
I mean,
give
I think
a little rundown.
Yeah. I sure will. I mean, I've been on Dory's show for the last couple of years. He's always spotlighting some of the stories I did, especially the street crime, homelessness stories at Como. I've been there for a couple of decades. So this is a great opportunity where maybe I don't have to play it down the middle as much as I have to do as a reporter,
sure.
But enjoying this talk show stuff. But yeah, I just want to be able to bring some insight that maybe people haven't heard before in terms of actually being on the ground and some of the, especially these local stories. And so I'm looking forward to doing that today.
Oh, yeah, when we get to the whole Ballard Commons debacle at the bottom of the hour. So Omicron, the Decepticon virus, has now arrived in three Washington state counties. It is a very big deal, and we should all be panicking because it may or may not be as infectious as the Delta. I mean, none of this to me, at this point, I'm so far past caring about a new strain, unless it, and I said this on Gian Ursula last week, unless it involves hemorrhagic fever and I grow a third arm, I've been vaccinated. Even Fauci came out the other day on
CNN, right.
And he said that it was not that.
Well, here,
like
here's him saying that.
Infected.
Here's him saying that.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I'm playing it, but.
Is your computer not on?
Yeah,
can you help him out, Andrew?
You know, it's a rookie mistake here. I hit play and it seems to be playing, but
hold on, Andrew.
Yep, it's go ahead. Go ahead and try it again.
Okay, try it again. Okay.
Thus far, though it's too early to really make any definitive statements about it, thus far it does not look like there's a great degree of severity to it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's going to be we've always said it's going to end up being like the flu. They take a flu shot, it's going to carry several strains in the future, but maybe not that strain that will affect you. I mean, I had a flu shot, and I got the 24-hour flu about 2 weeks ago, and I had a flu shot. So it just, I think in the future, we're going to start hearing more about these strains. They're not going to be as serious, and hopefully there won't be another serious one, but it's whether or not can you still mandate people for not, you know, not having a job or going into a restaurant without showing their card when there's so many other little strains out.
Yeah, and I think that that's the frustration that many people out there feel right now, myself included, this idea that we now have to be good boys and girls, and we have to go around and we have to show our little vaccination card to basically do things that previously you could just do freely, right? I'm a big believer in the sanctity of a private business. If a private business chooses to exclude people based on their vaccination status, I wouldn't go to that business, right? I wouldn't frequent that business at all. But now it's coming from the state, and that's what makes it really tricky, because it puts people in this circumstance where if for their own personal reasons they don't want to get vaccinated, now they are being segregated from the rest of the a population. And this is what we see in New York, which effectively at this point in time has de facto segregation. I'm way past debating people about vaccines and the effectiveness of vaccines and whether or not you should get it or not. I don't really care at this point in time. I care much more about the segregation that I am seeing happening progressively throughout this thing, when in actuality we're in an endemic, right? I mean, this thing isn't, it's not getting any worse. It seems like it's plateauing in a lot of places, just seems to be going down, Matt. So
And you have the Biden administration saying, hey, it's not going to be that bad. You're not going to be that much restricted this holiday season. But then you have, the governors of Washington, Oregon, and California on the West Coast saying, not so fast. I mean, even Dr. Ali Mokhtad, who is a regular on Como News and has been talking about things, he says it's really too early to know what Omicron can do.
It's too early to make an impact on the projections for winter, because right now we're dealing with a Delta surge in the United States.
And then you're going to have the politicians basically say, okay, I'm going to use this as another reason why you're going to have to show your card to go to that little corner teriyaki place that's run by two people and say, can I get my my number one, please?
I'd really like my fresh teriyaki bowl, please. I was telling you guys this in the pre-show meeting, but I'll tell the story again. I saw a video. It's a YouTube video. And it's this guy. He had this really clever idea. And he said, I'm going to take a 3x5 card, a blank 3x5 card, and I'm going to try to go into a business with it. And so he starts holding up this blank 3x5 card, and he's filming it the entire time. And you would be amazed the amount of times that people just waved him on in, because they don't really care. And so when you have this idea of we're all going to be good little sisters and little brothers, Big Brother is going to give us the order and tell us what to do, but then we're going to have to self-police other citizens, this is where it starts to break down. And I also think, Matt, people are going to get COVID fatigue to an even further degree now. My biggest concern throughout this entire thing, whether it's in New York or the state of Washington or wherever it is that you're going to push people who are already right at the edge, and they're going to get so tired of all this nonsense that they're going to do something drastic. And by drastic, I mean move or leave or whatever it is.
I call where's the uniformity? Because right now, last week, the state issued a new link for a verification that you could put on your phone. So I got that link. A couple of weeks ago, there was another link that was circulated around, which is a totally different looking vaccination card. And then I also go to the Kraken game. So I have the Climate Pledge Arena clear vaccination verification. So on my phone, three different looking vaccinations. I mean, for someone who has a food service worker who's making minimum wage and has to check me at the restaurant, so are they up to speed? I mean, not even a bouncer at a bar has to deal with that. He says, just show me your ID. The poor food service worker to get my teriyaki has all these different verifications to look at. There needs to be uniformity.
Right. So speaking of uniformity, you sound like Bill de Blasio. There's all this stuff coming out of New York where it just seems like such a disastrous hellscape for people's freedoms and liberties. I don't know why anybody would want to live there if you are a fan of being an American. De Blasio came out and he said that the incentive to get kids vaxxed is that they can participate in the holidays.
Saying that.
Our youngest kids, we got to reach them now. Right now in the city, it's about 20% have gotten vaccinated in that 5 to 11 range. It's new. The vaccine's relatively new. But what we're trying to say to parents is it's urgent. Before Omicron grows, before Delta continues to stress us even worse in the winter months, Get your kid vaccinated, and here's an incentive to do it. A lot of parents, of course, want to take their kids out to wonderful things that'll be happening in the holiday season. Here's a reminder, get your child vaccinated. Just one dose will immediately qualify any child to be able to participate in those activities.
This is so bizarre. This is some kind of inverted carrot and stick kind of where we're gonna both simultaneously threaten people, but then offer, hey, you can have Christmas as long as you get the vaccine. This is it's bizarre, and I think that I said this the other day on my show on Nights. I said when something is irrational and ridiculous, people who then begin to participate in that system start to sound irrational and ridiculous. Here's de Blasio, by the way, encouraging other cities to join in the uniformity that he has imposed on that fine city.
We actually got a lot of cooperation. There were a few times where we had to penalize people, but it was rare. So we're going to put together the rules, work with the business community. But I'll tell you something, Mika, the fact that this is universal, and this would be my advice to mayors, governors, CEOs all over the country, use these vaccine mandates. And the more universal they are, the more likely employees will say, okay, it's time. I'm going to do this, because you can't jump from one industry to another or one company to another. It's something that needs to be universal to protect all of us.
And he's right there relying on peer pressure, which we've seen already. Peer pressure doesn't work on certain populations in this country.
You know, Dory said something, I think it was about a week ago, and it was really, really insightful. And it was very subtle, and I'm curious why more people didn't pick up on it. But he said, which party is saying that voter IDs are bad? Which party is out here saying that someone having to show their ID in order to vote is bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, at the same time, which party is the party telling everybody that they have to show their ID with their vax mandate or their vaccination card in order to go in and get a cheeseburger?
I know.
It's really, really interesting when we look at how people are picking and choosing when they want to apply their philosophical standards and when they want to retract those philosophical standards. It's amazing, and I can see how so many people now, when something like the Omicron strain pops up, they're like me, and they say, I just don't care. I don't care at all.
You know, I just took a trip to Florida and Arizona, two states where I never saw a mask anywhere.
Really?
At all. Nowhere. I mean, it didn't matter. Even in indoor areas, I was in a restaurant in Phoenix, and they didn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're not even checking. They're saying there's on the doors in both Florida and in Arizona, the door says, if you've been vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask. We're encouraging other people, if you haven't been vaccinated, to wear a mask. Encouraging. And that's it. No checks at the door. They still check my ID if I'm 21, and I'm way past 21, which is so interesting. maybe I just need to have some sort of Omicron nose run, you know, that's recognizable. Then that poor service worker will have to card me at the door and say, sorry, you can't come in here and eat, you know, spend $20.
You know, the expression like buy the ticket, take the ride. I feel like there are many members of the Democrat elite out there. There are many, many leaders out there, whether it's Inslee or de Blasio or whomever it is. I think that they bought the ticket on COVID, and now they have to take the ride. Like, they can't pull it back at this point in time and say, hey, wait a minute. You know, a significant portion of the population's been vaccinated. If the rest of the population doesn't want to get vaccinated, that's their prerogative. We still believe in freedom and liberty. They can't do that. But all of the Republicans were able to do that. You didn't see any hysteria coming from Ron DeSantis or Greg Abbott or anything like that. So they're able to better taper their expectations for their population and their constituents. Whereas, like, look at what we got here on the West Coast. I mean, it is a miserable existence for many people to have to now go around and perpetually have your piece of paper on you and your filthy mask on you and all this other restrictions on your life, restrictions where you can go. It is now the lack of an end game from anybody who is a quote unquote official on this, anybody who's a quote unquote expert on this is astounding to me. The lack of any kind of conclusion to this kind of stuff that we've now been dealing with for the better part of 2 years is astounding and frustrating to say the least. But Matt, you're more like middle of the road on this thing, right?
I am a pro-vaxxer all the way. And I think at some point when you talk about an end game, not to bring up Roe v. Wade, but it's going to be a case where you have your own personal choice on what you can do with your body, and the government can't tell you or outlaw, you know, you can and cannot go into this restaurant if you don't get vaccinated. I mean, I hate to draw that parallel, but it's a simple one to understand. How much control do you have over your own body? It could be a case that goes to eventually the Supreme Court, because all these states are relying on this emergency health clause that governors have in their back pocket if there is an epidemic. So, yes, we are in an epidemic. We all need to be protected against this virus. But at some point, with all these variations and these variants coming out, and we know there's going to be others, at what point do you allow the person to make their own choice of whether or not they even get a booster? You say they got their first shot, but are you going to require booster shots? It's going to come down to a court case that's basically going to be about, can you have the right to protect your own body or do what you want with your own body? And that's Roe v. Wade.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with you, and my hope is that common sense prevails, because I'm very pro-vax as well. I got the J&J vaccine, and I have a pro-vax doctor on my show 3 nights out of the week, and we encourage everybody to get it if it's the right medical choice for them. I think that now with this Omicron Decepticon Transformers variant that we're now seeing, you know, you hear a lot of people now pumping the vaccines again, get pumping. Oh, now's the perfect time to get vaccinated. Come on down, get vaccinated. One size fits all. I think that people are starting to see through the matrix a little bit more. And they're saying, like, okay, but do I really need to? Like, if it's slightly more infectious and not as deadly as Delta, like, is it going to be this way every 6 months is what people's primary concern is.
Let's put the dollar figure on it. What the states are worried about is the hospitals filling up. People can't do their elective surgery. And all the money you're spending, you know, it's like, you know, we don't want you to smoke cigarettes because, you know, all the money that's going to, you know, for lung cancer, and it's a preventive thing. Yet they still allow cigarettes to be sold. I mean, it's like, okay, just because I smoke, am I going to be prevented from going into a restaurant or going into some place because I know it's bad for me?
Sure.
But the government has come short of saying, well, because you smoke cigarettes and we know that you're probably going to the hospital and have all these fees and you can't afford it, or it's going to be on the insurance's ticket. Where's the line? And you talked about the end game again. I want politicians to talk about the end game. They need to talk about the end game right
yes.
now. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you don't hear anybody. Everyone's looking at the state next to them and saying, okay, we're going to do this because my state next to me is going to do that. But they don't talk about where's the threshold, because we all know, and you know, Fauci's going to say, has said this, that there's going to be mutations. Some are going to be bad, some are going to be okay, that can maybe survive, like the current one. Where's the end game for politicians? They have to start drawing the line.
I agree. And speaking of drawing the line, by the way, we have to take a really quick break. Jack Stein, Matt Markovich in for Dory Monson, who will be back tomorrow. When we get back, we're going to be talking about Ballard Commons. And Mr. Markovich is the guy to talk about because he knows all about it. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. There's like five people in the text line who were like, Jack, it's Omicron or Omicron, however I'm supposed to say it. I don't care. I don't care how it's pronounced. Nicole, how am I supposed to say it? What's the...
Well, I've been told that you're supposed to say the O like home, so Omicron. Oh.
I don't care.
Is that what you've been told?
I mean, like, I don't even know at this point. And also, why aren't we calling it the Epsilon or the Kappa?
Well,
like,
there was two letters or whatever phonetically that should have been before it, which one was G, like the Chinese president. They thought that would be a bad move to name it after the Chinese president,
yeah.
Obviously. And then the other one was new, N-U, but they thought that would confuse people, as in the new COVID.
Let's get a Greek linguist on.
Right.
Yeah, I'm thinking we need to get some, like, frat boys on, and some frat boys need to start naming these variants so we can all rush Kappa, Beta, Phi. So speaking of, by the way, the city of Seattle has decided that Ballard Commons going to be cleared. And I say that this is good news. I find this to be wonderful, wonderful news. Parks and sidewalks and parking lots are not designed for human beings to live on or in or around them. They are designed for people to use. And when those have been taken from the people who pay for them, I expect them to be given back. Now, Matt Markovich, you know all about this. You've been down there dozens of times. So what's going down at the
I've been following Ballard Commons Park for quite a while here. And I'll tell you a little insight on how all of this stuff works and why they're finally clearing it tomorrow, or they're saying going to clear it. Because, one, and this would not have happened. This particular park, which is large enough where you need to remove everybody or offer a place of for everybody to stay at once, this would not have happened had it not been, believe it or not, for the COVID pandemic. All that money that the counties and the cities got to buy hotels and tiny house villages, that's where these people are finally going, to Rose's Tiny House Village, which would not have been actually on the map had it not been for all this federal money. So it's always been an issue of when you have these parks, these camps at parks, like what's happening at the Ballard Commons, that are so big where you have 50, 60 people, maybe 70 tents, but they did a census in over the summer, where they had about 60 people permanently living there. The way that it's called an MDAR rules in the city of Seattle, you have to have a place for everybody to go to spend the night. When you clear a camp, when you say, I'm going to post a 72-hour notice. And so that's one reason why they're able to do that tomorrow. They now have this tiny house village where they can move people, or at least offer them a choice to go there. And obviously, we know a lot of people don't do that. They're probably moving out, and the people who don't want their take any more of their garbage, they leave it for the city to clean up tomorrow. That's kind of the routine. But this all started at that park because they put in a Portland Loo. Remember what a Portland Loo is? Ever heard of a Portland Loo?
Never heard of this, no.
A Portland Loo is a self-clean, well, not necessarily self-cleaning, but is a bathroom, $500,000 or $500,000 each.
Oh, that's right, yes.
And they put it in there, and you can hose it down. There's, you know, and then, you know, a lot of them became sources to use drugs and everything. And that's what happened at this park. They put it in there for good reason. Well, it has water, sanitation, you wash your hands, and then you have this Portland Loo, and then just like a watering hole in Africa, and I'm not akin to homeless people to animals in Africa, but that's the logic here, is that you put resources, water, a bathroom where people can use it, and people will gravitate toward it. And then we had the COVID situation where the city allowed people to set up tents during COVID in parks where prior to COVID, I'll tell you this, the city was really strict. They would not allow a tent in a city park, more than 500 city parks. They would never happen pre-COVID, but COVID, they allow that to happen so they wouldn't spread COVID amongst other people who aren't in tents. I'm just making everything real short here, but that's the reasoning why Ballard Commons has become the way it has. Plus, another thing, a church across the street has been very kind, providing daily lunches there for years. The cook there, he's a wonderful guy, big-hearted. Even the National Guard was there for a long period of time handing out meals to the people who are living in that park. So you had all this, what some accuse as enabling. So finally, after a couple deaths, shootings, the problems at the park, and here's the real reason, I think. Dan Strauss, the council member, just got approved about $700,000 to put in a playground, an update the playground there.
Yes.
How are you going to update a playground when people are living in tents between the slip and slides and the whirly birds? So that's one of the real reasons why it's happening tomorrow.
See, and if I'm the dictator of Seattle, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, we have this outbreak of this disease, and we've got a tremendous amount of homeless people. Where are we going to put them? I know. What's the most dangerous thing we can do? Let's just force them all into the smallest spaces that we can possibly find and hope for the best. Did you know, Matt, that there was a typhus outbreak in Los Angeles back in 2019? Like 167 people died from typhus because of programs like this. You know, typhus is a flea-borne disease that gets from the rats onto the people, and then this is the kind of thing that you get from this kind of ineptitude.
About seven months ago, there was a hepatitis A outbreak at this very camp.
Exactly my point. So, like, who is the genius who decided to pull the trigger on that and say, well, if COVID's really bad, but you know, it would be even better to take a bunch of people with weakened immune systems, because they're all on drugs, and put them all in one central location election. It's like the most ludicrous thing that someone could come up with. And yet, but now I don't want to, you know, put a dark cloud over this. I think that this is a good move. I think that the people in the city of are desperate to have their parks back and desperate to have their walkways back and desperate to have their, you know, the trails through, you know, like wherever back. I think that people want their city back. And if this is a step in that direction, I'm all for it.
Well, here's the deal. The key number you're going to hear tomorrow once they start reporting the numbers from the city is how many people accepted offers of shelter. And here's the interesting fact that's not tracked with the city of Seattle because of privacy. Sure, you can go and offer a guy, here's a spot for you at this shelter, this tiny house village,
right,
or at this 24/7 shelter up on Capitol Hill. They're offered it, but they don't have to show up. And because of privacy reasons, when people show up there and stay, they don't report it back to the city how many people actually stayed at that shelter. They may have showed up for a day and then went on to another thing. I have no doubt there's an area right behind the Fred Meyer there in Ballard. A lot of the people you're going to see in Ballard Commons Park are going to hike about a mile away toward the Ship Canal Bridge and going to be parked right by the Fred Meyer because there's resources there for them.
Right.
And they just move. And, you know, people use that term whack-a-mole and it sounds degrading, but that is so true what happens in the city of Seattle.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
really is. And it's just going to pop up in another area. The neighbors are going to complain. There's going to be drug use. And, you know, I feel sorry for the Seattle police officers. I personally witnessed, while I was interviewing somebody shooting up on 3rd Avenue, two cops walking right by us. We have a camera in this guy's face talking to us as he's shooting up heroin, and his friend is actually setting up another needle for somebody else.
Ugh.
The cops look at him, and they just walk right by because they know the current state of affairs, no one's going to be prosecuted for less than 10 grams of heroin in King County by the King County prosecutor. So they're not even going to try anymore. And that's what happens at these parks, happens at Ballard Commons. And again, people say, oh, you can't throw drug addicts in with people who are mentally ill and they're living in the park. Well, I'm going to just tell you that is the case in these parks.
Yeah.
It's a third drug addict, third mentally ill, third people living there because they don't want to live in a house or they want any responsibility.
Yeah, and I find it, you know, people like to say, well, this is, you know, you have to take unsheltered people and we have to give them a space. And I look at Ballard Commons and I ask myself, is that compassion? Is that Christian compassion? Is that liberal compassion? Is that conservative compassion? No, right? None of this is compassion whatsoever. So I'm glad that it's being cleared. And I understand the frustration around the whack-a-mole, but baby steps, I think, is the way that we work our way out of this problem. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back with me, Jack Stein, as well as Matt Markovich. When we get back, we're going to talk about Chris Cuomo finally losing his job. We'll be right back right after this. All right, welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. Matt Markovich, Jack Stein this afternoon for Mr. Dory Monson, who is taking a break because he is not feeling well, and I was not feeling well this weekend. Matt, I have to admit to you, I was grieving all weekend, literally tears in my eyes, rolling around on the ground, hysterics. My wife comes in and she says, what's wrong? And I said, we've lost our way. I was just screaming. I said, we've lost our way in the media. And she says, why? What happened? And I said, CNN has fired the greatest journalist known to man. Get out of here. And I slammed the door in her face because I heard Brian Stelter came out and broke the news that Chris Cuomo had been fired. Here's what that sounded like.
You know, I didn't find that.
Yeah, do you want me to play that for you? I'll play it for you.
Let me do my best Donald Trump in an imitation. You're fired.
Here, I'll play it for you.
We have breaking news to report to you right now about CNN anchor Chris Cuomo. Earlier this week, Cuomo was suspended from CNN after documents revealed he had been involved more than previously known in shaping his brother, former Governor Andrew Cuomo's defense. Chris Cuomo, we should point out, has now been terminated here at CNN. That's the latest breaking news about what's happening here at CNN. I want to go to CNN's Brian Stelter. Brian, obviously, this is huge news, not only inside CNN, but for this industry. What can you tell us?
Yes, Chris Cuomo, one of the most popular anchors at CNN, one of the best known names in television news, violated journalistic ethics and norms, not once or twice, but many times. And that's ultimately what is the result of today's news, Jim. As you mentioned, Cuomo just terminated by CNN this afternoon. And here's the statement from management explaining the decision, saying Chris Cuomo was suspended earlier this week pending further evaluation of new information that came to light about his involvement with his brother's defense. We retained a respected law firm to conduct the review and have terminated him effective immediately. While in the process of that review, additional information has come to light. Despite the termination, we will investigate as appropriate.
Don't believe anything that Brian Stelzer says.
I just got to say this. Right? I just got to throw this out there. You mean to tell me that you're just going to fire a guy for using company resources to spy on people who are accusing your brother of sexual harassment?
I guess you are.
You're telling me that a guy, a down home working country boy, good old Southern boy like Chris Cuomo, can't advise his politician brother on how to navigate the media circus around the accusations made against him. You mean to tell me that in these fine United States that a brother just can't help a brother out? I despise Cuomo. I don't want to see him lose. As much as I despise Cuomo, you wanted him to stay up
despite all that?
Him losing his job is the company's decision. I need Cuomo to help me fill out like 5 minutes of my show every single day. And now I'm not going to have that. So it's more of a selfish thing, really, that I need Cuomo because I can't rip on Don Lemon anymore. I'm bored of that. I need Cuomo. He's been the staple of my career. He's like my remember when Shaq had Penny Hardaway back with the Orlando Magic? He's like my Penny Hardaway. I need someone to just throw the ball up to me so I can dunk it. And now I'm not going to have that.
Well, I mean, there's some hypocrisy here in the major media, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because I do believe Sean Hannity helped out Donald Trump.
Oh.
You know, he helped out his staff and gave him advice and gave some pointers and got him on his air. I mean, it was just all partialness there. Yes, you know, Chris Cuomo is an opinionated anchor. That's all that you see on primetime cable news now. So that's just that's so unfortunate in my mind, but that's just the way it is. But for him to go in and help out the staff, which he's being accused of doing, the staff of his brother with the governor's office.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hold journalistic ethics pretty high here. And I think that's why I've been in this business in Seattle for 25 years. I haven't been run out of town because of something stupid I've said or run a bad story I've done. I've been super fair and played it down the middle as best I can. But in this situation, I do have an opinion because Chris Cuomo had to go. He crossed the line by helping out his brother's staff, giving them advice, and he plays such an influential role on CNN. And I don't believe for a second that he's the man of his show. That for a second, his influence on his own staff and what to cover and what to say, I mean, he had an influence on that. And he also had a knowledge of what his brother was trying to do with his staff because he was helping them. You can't do that as a journalist. But then, do you consider Chris Cuomo a journalist?
I do not. I think that especially for the last 2.5 years, maybe 3 years, he's been doing kind of a Smothers Brothers routine where his show has become kind of a mix of offbeat comedy while also trying to slam poetry, like community college type slam poetry. It is awkward to watch because also he spoon feeds his audience what they want to hear. He does not challenge his audience whatsoever. So the Rittenhouse case, well, that's just a miscarriage of justice. Anything that he didn't like, he knew exactly how to package it for his audience so that they would find it to be palatable. And also, I mean, his ratings.
But that's what talk show
tanking.
Hosts do. I mean, that's what
I mean.
Do.
I don't do it. I mean, you know, I don't do it, but. Because, you know, but my audience loves me, number one, number one in the Pacific Northwest. So, okay, speaking of, by the way, we have to take a really quick break. We'll be right back with the fastest 15 coming up, which is going to be, as Dory Monson likes to put it, you give us 15 minutes, we give you the world. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back with Matt Markovich right after this.